Well, welcome again to Bad Moms 2. My name is Josh, and spoiler alert, not a mom. Not a mom. Did park in an expectant mother's parking spot one time, but that's probably not true. Hey, the title of today's message is The Lists We Keep. Can everybody say The Lists We Keep? The lists we keep. I heard a mom say recently that there's always a list for moms. Moms always have this running list of everything to be thinking about, everything to be responsible for. And I actually got my wife, Laura, to admit, and she's an amazing mom, but she admitted that sometimes she can kind of feel resentful because she feels like she's the only person in our family that's responsible for all those lists or carrying all those lists in her mind. But the truth is, I keep lists too. For example, September 1st, home versus Austin Peay. September 8th, at South Carolina. September 15th, Middle Tennessee State. And the 22nd, we're at Missouri, back home for Tennessee. Homecoming's after that. So I keep lists, at least about the dogs. But the truth is, everybody keeps lists. And I brought a list of lists, some of the lists that you and I keep. And if I missed your list, send me an email of all the lists that I missed. But here's some lists that we just keep all the time in our life. You got the wish list. You have the bucket list. There's the travel list. So for some of us, like you have aspirations of going to Europe or on a cruise on your list. Some of us, we're just trying to make it to those outlets in commerce. You know what I'm talking about? That would be like summer win. I'm serious. Packing list, the chores list, the to-do list. There's a special version of the to-do list called the honey-do list. You know what I'm talking about? This is, hey, babe, we've got some things to do specifically for you to do. That's a great way to start Saturday. You've got the laundry list, the babysitter list, and this is not our list of babysitters. This is, hey, you know, in the event that my child turns on you, here's their list of demands. This is a vital list at the Bain household right now. The emergency contact list, the meal planning list. Once you have the meal planning list, you get the grocery list. And here's just an epiphany I had the other day. So for me, the grocery list, that would ideally be the maximum amount of things we would put in our cart. But for Laura, we are just getting started. Does that make sense? I don't know if you guys have that tension in your house. Some of you keep a list of everything that you eat. The rest of us, we really enjoy our life. There's the watch list. On some of your watch lists is the blacklist, which might be a show about a hit list. I haven't actually seen it. There's the password list. That's vital in 2018. And lastly, the infamous summer reading list. Because heaven forbid a kid get to be a kid in 2018. But now we have these apps that help us keep our list. I use the Notes app. I'm kind of a simple guy. Anybody else, you make your list on the Notes app? A bunch of us, all right? Participation, please. Anybody use an app besides the Notes app, something a little fancier to keep your list? You're like, this guy, one guy down here. You think you're better than us? Or are you kind of, I'm kidding. I found that a great app for making lists is actually Pinterest. Pinterest is great. Pinterest, the official sponsor of Bad Moms 2, by the way, here in the Pinterest Auditorium. Pinterest is great for ladies, but Pinterest is great for guys too, because we're not always the best at communicating our feelings. Surprise. And so Pinterest is great. I'll just do a little demonstration since they're paying us. No, I'm kidding. So what happens is, this is our family iPad. This is my life in a nutshell, by the way. Right now, as a father of two young kids. But ladies, what you do with Pinterest, you take it out, you give it to your boyfriend or your husband, and it's so simple. I say, all you got to do, babe, I want you to touch the picture that makes you happy. That's all you have to do. So lists are everywhere. Now, we're going to come back to lists in a second. Last week, we began this Bad Moms conversation, and what we're talking about is that thing in us. It's a mom thing, but it's really an everybody thing. That thing in us that makes us perhaps feel like we're doing worse than we actually are. That thing in us that makes us down on ourselves. The best way I could describe it would be this. If you ask my wife, Laura, to give herself a grade, 1 to 10, on how she's doing as a mom, on how she's doing in life in general, whatever grade she would give herself would absolutely be lower, right, than the grade that I would give her and the grade that everybody else in her life would give her. What is that? Another way to say it would be this, that you look at me and you might say that I'm winning. But the truth is, sometimes I feel like I'm losing. And I look at so many of you, and I would say that you're winning, but sometimes you feel like you're losing. Why is that? And I think it goes back to the lists. And not only are you your worst critic and I'm my worst critic, but we also have a front row seat for all the dysfunction of our lives. In fact, anybody just show of hands willing to admit, your life kind of like a total disaster right now. You feel like, I'm putting my hand in the air. If you're here today and you don't feel like your life is a total disaster, then today's talk may not mean a lot to you. But if you're here today and you do feel like your life is a total disaster, then I think we are going to connect a little bit. And what I have observed from my total disaster life as a father of two young kids right now is that I don't tend to focus on all the things that are going right. I don't sit around and make mental lists of all the things that are going well and all the things that I'm good at and all the things that we're just ways that we're so blessed. Instead, I tend to make lists in my mind. I tend to saturate my mind thinking more about things like this. These are the lists that I make. Whatever is dirty. So dirty is the enemy of happy for so many of us. I tend to think about whatever's late. Anybody just feel like there's always like a bill that you haven't paid? You're just always perpetually running late to the next thing in your life. I think about whatever is old and broken. I'm going to tell you a story in a little bit about my journey as a homeowner with some broken things. But broken doesn't always mean like tangible. Sometimes broken is like relational. Sometimes it's broken in your marriage, or sometimes it's broken with your boss, or you lead a team and your team is broken. In fact, everything can be going great in your life, but when you have something broken in your life, you just tend to spend so much time thinking about that. I do that all the time. I think about things that are looming or things that are scary. Sometimes I have a hard time being like in the present moment, even if things are good, because there's that thing coming. There's that assignment. There's that conversation coming that's just kind of getting me down, discouraging me, stressing me out. I can tend to dwell on the things that are hurtful. So sometimes this is, something somebody said or something somebody did, but maybe you're just the type of person, you know, you have a performance eval at work and it's 95% positive, but you just sort of tend to dwell on the 5% negative. Anybody ever been there before? I think about things that are undone. It's hard to have, you know, happiness and peace when there's still more left to do. Maybe it's just if you're here today and you're sort of a driven type of person, which is not just moms, it's moms and dads, it's a lot of us, it's men and women. If you're a driven person, it's hard to sort of settle down when there's honestly just so many things left to do. Moms, can you relate to this list at all? Is the silence indicative that it's too painful of a subject to address? I know that men can connect with this topic. I know that people who are type A can connect with a list like this. And here's what's interesting. When you're at a party, these are not the things that you talk about, right? When you're at a party or you show up to church and somebody asks you how everything's going, what do you say? It's great. Everything's great. My life is great. My kids are great. My house is great. Pull up social media. Oh, very great. Very great on social media. But when you get home, right, how are the conversations at home? Not great, Bob. They're not great. And what do you spend more time thinking about? Do you spend more time thinking about all the things that you're good at? About all the things that you just like about your life? About all the things that are going well? Or do you use the majority of your thought space inhabited by words like this? Is it inhabited by a list like this? I want you to be encouraged a little bit. I read a fascinating science article that says we all do this, that our brains have a natural bias towards negativity, that for whatever reason, negative experiences in our past or negative, you know, possibilities stick. They're stickier than positive things. We have a bias towards negativity, and they think it has a little bit of something to do with kind of survival of the fittest, but we're just heightened to think more about the things that could be threats, both kind of in the moment right now, but then also in the future. And when you think about your life and your future, all the thoughts that you have about your future, which we have every day, all those thoughts, are just predictions. We're just making predictions in our mind about what could be, but the research says that you and I are far more likely to make negative predictions about the future. Everybody does it. So everybody has a list. And what I want to get into a little bit today is even a little more specifically, figure out a little bit of what might be on your list. So for the fear of getting a little too down, one way to figure out what would be on your list would be to ask this question. What's discouraging you? When you feel like a bad mom or a bad dad, when you feel like you're just kind of losing in life, maybe you just feel like you're bad at work, or you feel like I'm bad at being single. I know all these other people, and they seem to be great at being single, but I'm bad at being single. I mean, what is it specifically for you that's discouraging you today? I hope there's something that actually comes to mind, because that's what I want to talk about. Another way to ask the question would be this way. What's stealing your peace right now? What's stealing your peace and your joy right now? For some of us, it's financial. For others of us, it's relational. For some of us, it has something to do with our kids or our parents. It's something with a job. It's something health-related. We've all got a thing. I would ask you if you know what your thing is, but the truth is, it's probably not just one thing, right? It's probably a list of things, and the list of things begin to compound in such a way where you would say, well, of course I'm a bad mom. I mean, look at my list. Of course I'm a bad dad. Here's all the things that I'm not doing right. Here's all the things that I'm not good at. Here's all the things that are still to be undone. Here's all the things on my list, and we get so down. And what's interesting is the list is different for everybody, and it also affects everybody a little differently. So for some of us, our list makes us feel overwhelmed. For a lot of people in this room, overwhelmed is the number one word to describe your life. Others of us, our list makes us feel exhausted. This is just when people who are overwhelmed move to just being over it altogether. You know what I'm talking about? And if you live with somebody who's exhausted, my advice would be to do exactly what they say at all times, for sure. But for a lot of us, honestly, like if we're just being just street level real, you're just exhausted in your life and you have some good reasons to be. There's a lot of things that, you know, you may not be happy with. For others of us, we feel sad. This is, I think, a guy thing a lot. And ladies, here's just free advice. Sometimes we project this as mad because mad's a stronger look. You know, sad, we don't feel like necessarily it's a good look. But guys, we have this like running list of things in our life. And sometimes with those, if the negative ones begin to pile up so much, it's hard for us to be happy if we're being honest. We just feel sad. Some of us feel trapped. I mean, you, on one hand, you do love your husband and you do love your kids. But on the other hand, it's like, is this really the rest of my life? I mean, you've thought this, you know, you sort of said this to, a, you know, somebody you can confide in. Is this really the rest of my life on this kind of merry-go-round? And lastly, some of us just feel anxious. And sometimes anxious is about a future thing, right? It's, boy, I got this big thing coming. I just feel anxious about it. But others of us, we just sort of live with the anxiety. I had lunch with a buddy who became a new dad recently. And he was saying, ever since I became a dad, I just live with this constant hum of anxiety in my life because now I've got this other person to provide for. Some of you, you know, you lead like a company. You run a company. You employ other people and their livelihoods are at stake. And for you, that just makes you feel kind of anxious. There's this hum of anxiety in your life. Can't even pinpoint it, but you can never relax. And what all of these things have in common is this: no peace. Aren't you glad you came to church today for this encouraging message? Hey, if you can relate to anything on this list, if you feel overwhelmed, exhausted, sad, trapped, anxious, if you have a list of things in your life that are not going well or things that you are anxious about, I have actually come with good news. God does not want you to live in that discouragement. And not only that, he has provided for you a way out. And we begin to find some answers in the book of Philippians, chapter 4. This is a letter written by the Apostle Paul. So Paul visited the church in Philippi, did some ministry there. He left, and then this is him now writing back to them. And what I think is fascinating, especially in light of our bad moms topic today, is that history tells us a lot of the people that he met there, a lot of people that he did ministry with there were actually female. So you can read about some of the experiences that they had. You can read about some of the things that they worked on. You can read about some of their conversations. Paul had a lot of female friends and followers in Philippi. Now, I'm not saying that's why he wrote this first thing he said, but it's at least interesting. First thing in this section, he said this: do not be anxious, ladies, possibly ladies. Do not be anxious, people of Philippi, about anything. Which, if you're like me, you read this, hey, don't be anxious. And you just want to say, that's not helpful, Paul. That's just not helpful. This is like when your friend Janet, you know, tells you you just need to stop worrying. And you just want to say, that's not helpful, Janet. Thank you. If I knew how to stop worrying, I would stop worrying. If I knew how to not be anxious, Paul, I would stop being anxious. But I don't know how to do that. So that's not very helpful. Thank you, Paul. Thank you, Janet. And Paul would go, hold on, I don't even know Janet. And secondly, this is not the how. He's going, this is not the how. This is just my hope for you. This is my hope for you. And what's implied in the verse is that it's actually possible. That you could actually live a life where some of that anxiety, some of that stress, some of that worry is decreased in your life. This is my hope for you. One of the definitions I read of the word anxious said, wanting something very badly, often with a feeling of unease. Do you feel uneasy about anything in your life right now that you want very badly or you want to work out very badly? Paul would go, my hope for you is that all those kind of negative emotions could sort of decrease a little bit. And here's how. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, that's important, present your request to God. Present your request to God with gratitude on repeat. Present your request to God with gratitude on repeat. And I love that it's every situation because I don't know if you're like me, but there's sometimes in life where I'm just dealing with something and I say, if I'm being honest, I feel like it's too dumb to bring to God. Can anybody relate to that? You got something in your life, and it's like, God is God, and I'm just trying to get a date. I mean, God is God, and I'm just trying to, you know, lose some weight. That's all I'm trying to do. This feels too dumb to bring to God. And what I love about what Paul's saying is he's going, hey, the invitation actually is for every single situation, which, by the way, means all the situations in the room. Anything that you're dealing with in the room today, you are not only invited, but you are encouraged to bring to God. One of my favorite verses in all of the scripture says, cast your anxiety onto him because he cares for you. And the word cares, literally translated, means he respects you. He takes your situation seriously, which means this, even if you're here today and you don't take God seriously, he takes your situation seriously. Even if you're here today and you would say, to be honest, I don't even really care about God that much. God would say, to be honest, I still care about you and your situation. Every situation represented in this auditorium today and to anybody watching online, every situation you can bring to God, every financial situation, every relational situation, everything at work, every health thing, nothing is exempt. Every situation you can bring to God with gratitude on repeat. And then what? Everything gets magically better? I mean, we're grown-ups. We kind of know that's probably not exactly what's going to happen every time immediately. Sometimes. Paul would go, no, it's actually better than that. Sometimes everything magically works out, but you still don't have that calm in your heart. This is the promise. By prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard. Somebody say guard. Thank you. That's pretty good. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. The peace of God, which transcends all understandings, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. And here's the picture. All of that anxiety that we live with, if we will actually do what Paul is saying, all of that anxiety is going to start to come out of you. And the promise is that his peace is going to guard you, the peace that comes in Christ Jesus. And it's in Christ Jesus because I'm not controlling it anymore. And my life is in his hands. All that anxiety, that stress, that worry is going to start to come out of you. And his peace is going to guard you. Moms, the truth is you really do carry all the lists. Let's be honest. It's in your nature to do that. And praise God that you do that. But that list weighs on you, and you live with this constant state of anxiety because there's always more to do, and am I doing it as well as she is? And Paul's going, you don't have to carry that anymore. That's not the way you want to live. Instead, pray, and all of that anxiety will come out of you, and God's peace will guard you. Men, guys, that sadness that we talked about, let's be honest, it's really not even so much about your past, right? It's more about your future. Whatever happened, now we're thinking about our future, and it's like, I don't know if I can see a future. That's what depression is. Is there really a way to move forward? Is this really going to work out? And God's going, you don't have to carry that sadness anymore. You can give that to me. I want to guard you from that coming back to haunt you. And this is why, if you're here today and you're not a Christian, I think you should consider becoming a Christian. Because how else do you get all of your anxiety and all of your problems out of you? Do you spin them away? Do you kind of Netflix them away? And even if you're successful, who's guarding you from keeping them from coming back to get you? One of the things I've always been intrigued by with this passage and always just been interested in is this word understanding. Because isn't it true that when it comes to peace, understanding is what we think we want or where we think we're going to find the peace? If I just had some understanding of how this was going to work out, if I just knew how it was going to be resolved, if I could just go ahead and get the phone call and know that I get the job or not get the job, are we moving or are we not moving? You know, is he in or is he out? What does the doctor say? If I could, you know, is this, you know, looking good or is this not looking good? If it could only be Thursday already, then I would know and then I would have peace. And I can't help but wonder, is Paul trying to tell us in this passage that there is a peace that's better than knowing? That there is a peace that you don't have to wait on, y'all. There's a peace that you don't have to wait on. And here's why. Because peace is not about what you know. Peace is about who you know. Peace is not about what you know. It's about who you know. There's a peace that you don't have to wait on. You let all of that anxiety out. And God's peace is going to guard you. Another way to say it is this. That peace happens when you make your worry list your prayer list. I mean, you have a worry list, right? You don't even have to write it. You already got it up here. But when that becomes your prayer list and you begin to let go of the things in your life that you don't even have control over anyways, I mean, you were never intended to carry the weight of your list and all of its outcomes. When you give that to God, and I hope somebody writes this down and lives with this for this next week. But when you give that to God, his peace is going to guard you. What a promise. Now that's step one. Step two, I'm even more excited about today, and it's the whole reason that I am here today, besides the fact that I work here and I'm here every Sunday. But it's the whole reason why I'm up here on the stage is to tell you this, because here's what we do. We make the list in our minds, right, of all the things that we're not good at, of all the things in life that are just not going well, and all the things that I don't like about this or about that, and all the things that are not going well in the world, you know, careful with that. And it just weighs on you. Now, I don't know what you think about God, or what you think that God thinks about you, or what God wants you to think about you, or about life, but check out what Paul says next. This is kind of his closing encouragement to this group, a lot of ladies to this group in Philippi. This is what he says God would rather you be thinking about. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. You have a God who is inviting you to think about lovely things. Moms, you have a God who's inviting you to step out of discouragement. This is what he wants for you. Out of discouragement and into encouragement. You have a God who's giving you permission, all right, to think about the things that are actually going well. To think about some areas of your life that you can actually celebrate. To think about the things that you're actually good at. I hope that lifts a weight off of somebody's shoulders today. Now, grumpy guy in the room, and you might be married to grumpy guy. You might be grumpy guy. Sorry. Welcome. Glad you're here. Grumpy guy would say, all right, well, this is not going to make things better either, right? Like, this doesn't actually fix the problems. You're just telling me power of positive thinking. No, it's far better than that. And the truth is, just side note, a lot of us have a lot of really serious things in our life. Like, we have a lot of things that are stressing us out and worrying us, and worrying you. And even as I'm talking, like, your situation is pretty serious. And grumpy guy would say, this is not making those things better. Paul would say, yeah, it's actually better than that. If you will think about things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, I want you to see what's going to happen. And then what? Here's what. And the God of peace will be with you. There's that word again. Peace lives in the land of what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And here's what I've discovered as I've been preparing for our time together over the last month or two. If there's ever been a time where I haven't had peace, specifically peace of mind, it's almost certainly because I was not thinking about things that were true. I wasn't thinking about things that are noble. I wasn't thinking about things that were pure, on and on down the list. I wasn't thinking about the excellent things. I wasn't thinking about the praiseworthy things. And as soon as I shifted my thought space back into the things and onto the list of what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy, peace came back to me just like he promised. And how could it not be? Let's put the list back up here. How do you not have peace when you think about what is pure? Wouldn't you be happy if you just thought about the pure things? A lot of us, we lost our peace because we started thinking or doing things that weren't very pure. But if you were only living in a pure space, you would have peace. How wouldn't you not be happier if you thought about just the things that were excellent? All right, all the times that you go to a restaurant and have a bad experience, not very excellent, there's no peace there. But think about all your favorite things. I thought about bringing a slideshow of all my favorite Athens restaurant dishes, of which there are very many, by the way. I thought about the pork steam buns at the World Famous. I thought about the fries at Trapeze or really anything at Mama's Boy. I thought about the steak Cuban at Cali and Tito's. When you think about things that are excellent, what happens? There's only peace there, and it makes sense. I mean, wouldn't you be happier if you spent more time thinking about things that are praiseworthy? I mean, come on, you lost your peace when you started criticizing that person. But if you're, just as advice, if you're here and your house doesn't have a lot of peace, there's a little bit of conflict in your house, my encouragement would be to think about some things you can celebrate in your partner. Think about some things you can celebrate in your spouse. That's a recipe for magic. That's how my second child was conceived, actually. I'm just making sure you're still awake, making sure everybody's still awake. I am going to pay for that later. Okay, nobody disagrees. You would be happier if you spent more time thinking this direction. But like we talked about in that science article, it's not natural. So you have to build this habit into your life. I told you I made the mistake a couple years ago of becoming a homeowner for the first time, and we bought this delightful little 1,500 square foot brick ranch house from the 50s, and it's great, but there's so many flaws, and there's so many things to do, and if you're a homeowner, you know, there's always things to be fixing up, or I don't know, multi-thousand dollar plumbing issues, and on and on down the list, and truthfully, there's like things that we wish we could, I'm not trying to get you to feel bad for me, but there's like things that we wish that we could kind of do to it, and we just can't do that right now. And a few months ago, I found myself in a pretty serious discouragement about this, because every day I walk into my house and something about the way I was wired, I couldn't see all the good things. I could only see all the flaws. And one day, not too long ago, I'm standing in my kitchen, and it's ironic that it's the kitchen because that's kind of maybe the center of like my discontentment in this area. And our oldest daughter, she's 2.5, she walks into the kitchen. We've been in the house 2 years. So she's kind of walked or crawled or whatever into this kitchen at least 700 times before. And on this day, I don't know what I'm doing. I'm probably prepping bottles and or popping bottles, like I like to say. But nonetheless, I'm probably working on something. And she walks in. But on this day, she looks around and she says, "Daddy, our house is beautiful. Oh, Daddy, oh, Daddy, thank you. Thank you so much for our house." And the house hadn't changed. Same house, better perspective. And here's a word for somebody today. You're waiting on your situation to change. You're waiting on somebody else to change. You're waiting on life to get a little easier before you can have peace. But Paul's saying there's a peace that you don't have to wait on. You don't have to wait for everything to work out. You don't have to wait for life to get a little bit easier, for things to work out, for them to change. You can have peace right now, if you will begin to shift your thinking onto what is true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. Now, I want to leave you with a little bit of homework, if I can. I want you to make a list. I made about 50 lists in this talk, so you could at least write one for me. That would be great. Specifically, I want you to do some homework in the next 24 hours. I would love for you to do it tonight. If you can't do it tonight, steal some time in the morning. But I want you to make a list. Everybody's list is going to be a little bit different. I want you to literally write this list out. I would love it if you would post this list somewhere around your house or in your car for you to see it. Some of you, this is such a real thing impacting you that you need to like post this on your Facebook page, or you need to post this on your blog so that other people can sort of be in this conversation with you and probably encourage you in it. But everybody's struggle is different. Everybody's battling a different kind of discouragement. I don't know what your deal is. So I'm going to give you a few different options of what your list might be. I had some people text me at the first service. I'm going to do this. This is what my list is going to be like. So I want you to think about it. For some of you, you might just need to make a list of things that are going well because you're just kind of down right now. And God could use that simple list of, here's some things that I can be glad about, some positive things happening in my life right now. And I think God will use that to encourage you this week. A lot of us, your battle is like mine. I mean, discontentment's the best word I could use to put it. But it's just something you wish you had or you wish was better. And so for you, I want you to make a list this week about all the things that you currently have that you're grateful for. Things that you currently have in your life that you are grateful for. And this is what I put in my notes. You could never acquire enough things to have peace. That's not how you acquire peace. In fact, I believe this with all my heart. The simple exercise, 90 seconds, making a list of the things that you're grateful for will bring you more peace than if you actually got the thing in your life that you thought would bring you peace. If you're here today and your struggle is with insecurity or unworthiness, which is a huge struggle for so many of us, your list needs to be about all the truths that the Bible says about who you are and your identity and how God has made you and how God thinks about you. And if you don't know where to find that, you can Google that. Google that with terms of, you know, Bible verses about my identity, or what does God say about me? How does God feel about me? You are experiencing discouragement in your life, but that discouragement's not coming from God. It's coming from a different kind of enemy. And so you need God's truth. You need real truth, real promises to you can sort of hold on to in those moments or those nights where you just don't feel very good about yourself. I said, if you're here and you don't like your spouse or you don't like your kids or your boss, it could be anybody, you should make a list of all their positive traits. And for extra credit, you should communicate that to them. Some of you need to make that same list about yourself. And last one, some of us are walking through things that are really difficult. I mentioned it earlier, but you are experiencing loss or tragedy. You're right in the middle of it. And here I am telling you to think about all the warm, fuzzy feelings in life. And you're saying, I would love to, but my life doesn't have a lot of this. There's not a lot of things I'm excited to give praise about. There's not a lot of things that are lovely or honestly, they even feel right now in my life. And if that's you, I want you to make a different kind of list. I want you to make a list that's all about Jesus. It's all about who Jesus is and what he's done and what he's like. I will just tell you from my personal experience, I have witnessed a lot of things up close and personal. I've witnessed cancer up close and personal. I've witnessed divorce up close and personal. I've witnessed miscarriage up close and personal. Job loss up close and personal. And how do you find peace in the middle of really terrible things like that? How do you find hope in the middle of really terrible things like that? I think you do it by taking some advice from this old hymn. Some of you know this. From the old hymn that says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. You look full in his wonderful face, and what's going to happen? The things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, because Jesus is true. Jesus is noble. Jesus is right. Jesus is pure. Jesus is lovely. Jesus is admirable. Jesus is excellent. And Jesus is very praiseworthy. There's a peace that you don't have to wait on, even in the middle of the storm, if Jesus is in the boat with you. I thought about titling today's message, Waiting on Peace. The list we keep felt a little more engaging, perhaps. But waiting on peace, isn't that what we do? Don't we say, you know what, when I finally know how this turns out, when I can finally get some resolution, I'm going to have to wait a few days. Or if I could just change this one thing about my life, then I would have peace. But the message from Paul today, and the message I wanted to share with you, and what I believe is the message from God today for you, is that there is a peace that you don't have to wait on. And it starts by just making your request known to God, making that worry list that you already have, your prayer list. And when you do that, all of that anxiety is going to come out of you. What a feeling. And God is going to guard you with his peace so it doesn't come back to get you. And in the meantime, you're taking your thoughts captive. You're setting your mind on truth. You're committing to the habit of thinking about the things that are true, noble, right, pure, lovely, admirable, excellent, and praiseworthy. And if you do that, the God of peace will be with you. Let me pray for you, okay? God, there are so many lists represented in this room. I know that everybody here can relate to this in some way. Moms can relate to it for sure, because they really do carry such burdens, to be honest. They carry such a huge load. But there's 20-somethings. There's 20-something guys in this room. There's college guys in this room who have a whole mess of uncertainty in their life. And there's so many things to be stressed about and so much pressure that they feel. And so I pray, would you help us step out of discouragement and into your tremendous encouragement today? And we pray all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.